welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are wrapping up this message series titled Dirt Check. Dirt Check. So what is this series about? Well, Jesus was a great teacher who used simple stories in creative ways to teach us about what it means to follow him. And so we've seen in this parable, his parable of the sower, that Jesus talked about seed and dirt. And what was going on with the dirt was part of the story. So we know that, as we've heard, some of it was hardened dirt, and some was shallow, some of it was full of weeds, and then some of it was fertile and ready. And as Jesus' followers and others must have heard the story, they asked the question, what does this story have to do with my life? What does this story about seed and dirt have to do with me? And so as we've been looking at this parable over a few weeks, I've asked you to do this, to take a dirt check, to ask the question, what kind of soil does God find in my heart? What's going on in my life, in my heart? Dirt check, what kind of soil does God find in your heart? So Jesus made the point about, you know, the different kinds of soils, the different kinds of dirt, but he also wanted us to be captivated by the power of God's Word. We've said throughout this series that there is so much potential power in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. We've said throughout this series there is so much potential power in the Word of God. Amen? So God is Creator. He is Spirit. God is Light, but also God is Revealer of Truth. And He has given us His Word, a gift of truth to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to teach, to heal, to save us, to redeem, to bless, to convict, even to confront us. It is a wonderful word, a powerful word. Jesus said in Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. Think of all the ways that God's Word can speak to us, bear fruit in our lives. But here's the question. Do we open it up? Do we let His Word speak to us? So the first week, remember, we talked about the trampled life. Jesus said, you know, some hear the Word, but before the seed can even grow, the enemy comes and steals it away. And we have said we have got to be aware of the enemy and his schemes, as well as have compassion on those who have been trampled by life. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the shallow life. You know, Jesus said, some people hear, the word begins to grow, and there's great joy in their heart, in their life when that happens, and yet they don't have yet roots. They've not yet developed maturity. And so when the heat come, when the trials of life come, when tribulations come, many times these persons fall away. And so we've said we need to remember ourselves to be putting down roots and to prepare for the trials that come, as well as to help others do the same. But we've also said particularly we need to pay attention to new believers, because new believers, they experience joy, but they're so vulnerable as well to hardship and trials if they have not developed maturity about that. Last week, we talked about the stifled life. Again, some hear the word, and the word begins to grow, and there's joy in that, but thorns choke it out. It becomes stifled. It becomes stunted. And Jesus talked about some specific thorns, didn't he? Thorns, worry, riches, and pleasure. So we've said we got to recognize these specific thorns and others, but these particularly understand what they can do, and we need to weed them out so that we can keep our hearts open and our hearts free. Man, for all of that, we have to realize there is a battle going on. There is a spiritual battle going on within us and beyond us. And Jesus is trying to teach us, to help us to avoid the trampled life, the shallow life, the stifled life. Today I want to talk about the fruitful life. The fruitful life. For all the time that Jesus spent warning of the ways that the seed of God's word can be stolen, can be stunted, can be stifled, he did share about the amazing possibility of a fruitful life. So he said in Luke 8:8, still other seed fell on what kind of soil? Good soil. It came up and yielded what? A crop 100 times more than was sown. Jesus was teaching that it is possible to have the seed of God's word bear tremendous fruit in our lives, exponentially abundant fruit in our lives, because with God, all things are possible. With God, amazing things are possible. So what does Jesus want us to understand as he tells this part of the story? Well, the first thing that I would say is this. Sometimes God's word does fall on good soil. Some people's hearts are ready. Amen? When we do a dirt check, their hearts turn out not to be hard. Their hearts are not trampled on. Their hearts are not shallow. Their hearts are not stifled or choked by other things. Instead, when we do a dirt check, their hearts are open. They are prepared. They are ready to receive the truth of God's word. Some people are what I call living in the river of grace. In the river of grace. They are ready to receive God's word by preparation. The grace of God in their life has been preparing them. Perhaps they've had parents, or maybe grandparents, or other people in their life who have helped them to see the wisdom of being open to the truth of God's word in their life. John Wesley used to talk about the prevenient grace of God. Prevenient means grace that goes before us. Grace that goes before and prepares us. I realize, as I think about that kind of grace, that's really part of my story. My parents, my grandparents, and others were people of faith whom God used to help prepare my heart to be open to the seed of God's word. Some people are living in the river of grace. Other people are living in the midst of a crisis. They're not ready to receive God's word by preparation, but they are ready by desperation. Something has happened in their life, and that has caused a crisis. And because of this crisis, they have all of a sudden become open to receiving God's word. Not out of preparation, but out of desperation. Maybe it's in their marriage, or maybe on the job, or maybe it's in our business, or maybe there's a crisis in our family or among friends. Maybe it's a crisis in our health. Maybe it's a financial crisis or a fear crisis, but it is real. And we become desperately open to hear what God's word might have to say. The crisis for me, as I was preparing to graduate high school, was this. What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do? I don't have any sense of direction right now, but I know I need to. And I wonder if God has something that he can say about that. Up until that time, I mean, I knew about God, but I really wasn't interested in what he might say to me. In the middle of that crisis, all of a sudden, I was open and I was receptive to what God might want to say. Sometimes God's word falls on good soil, soil that is prepared to receive it by preparation or desperation. And either way, that's a good place to be. So when you do a dirt check, what kind of soil does God find in your heart? What is going on in you? Are you hardened, shallow, choked off towards God? Or are you open, prepared, eager to receive what God might say, God's grace in your life? Well, what else does Jesus want to understand from this story? I'd say this as well. Good soil consists of a noble and good heart. Whether a person is living in the river of grace or the sea of desperation, the key seems to be having a noble and good heart. So how do you do that? How do you have a noble or good heart? Does one have a noble or good heart because of upbringing? Whether your parents taught you well or not? Or is it genes? Does it come down to genetics? Because of genetics, some people have a noble and a good heart and some don't. Or is it predetermined? Has God predetermined whether or not you have a good heart or a bad heart? Or is it about choices? Are there some things that we can do in order to have a noble and a good heart? Wow! Those are some big questions. These are the questions that people have been wrestling with through the centuries. And the different ways that you can answer those questions have profound implications. When I think about those questions in light of the Scripture, this is what I would say. The best source for a noble and good heart is God's Spirit dwelling within you. The power of the Holy Spirit empowering you to be the person that God has created you to be. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you, can dwell within you. Remember what Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer in the book of Acts. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And part of that salvation is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your source of a noble and good heart. He is the promised gift of God to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and what? Retain it. And by persevering, produce a crop. What else does Jesus want us to understand? This person who's open hears the word and retains it. Jesus says, the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it. Retain it. In this person's life, the seed of God's word is not trampled on. It's not scorched for lack of roots. It's not stifled or choked by the worries, the riches, the pleasures of life. But instead, this person hears the seed of God's word and retains it. To retain it means to keep it, to hold on to it, to preserve it. It's one thing to be a person who hears the word. Yeah, I'm hearing the word. I went to church. I heard the word. I was open. Yeah, I heard all about it. It's another thing to retain it, to keep it, to preserve it. And I regularly pray that, Lord, may you help me and may you help all of us and the people that we love to retain, to keep, to hold on to your word. Because it's only when we retain it, when we hold on to it, when we keep it, that the word has its effect. Jesus said, the seed on the good soil stands for those who with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a good crop. This person, the next thing I think Jesus wants us to understand is this person, by persevering, produces a crop. What is Jesus saying? There's going to be battles. Amen? There's going to be the need for persevering. Battles with the enemy. We're going to face trial and fires. The heat will come. Anybody ever experienced heat and trials and times of difficulty? Anybody in the house? Anybody? Doesn't seem like many. Oh, maybe a few of us. Oh, okay. We're going to be tempted by thorns, worries, riches, pleasures. So we're not supposed to be surprised by that. We're not. But instead, We're to decide, you know, in spite of all of that, I am going to be a person who perseveres. I'm going to be one who stays with it. I'm going to keep plodding on. Perseverance makes a difference in so many aspects of our life. So the story is told, you know, when Walt Disney applied at the Kansas City Star newspaper for a job as an artist, the editor told him, "You don't have any talent. You don't have any talent." He sent him away, urging him to just give up his idea of being an artist. Even his first series of animated cartoons, Oswald the Rabbit, failed. Has anybody heard of Oswald the Rabbit? No. There wasn't much of what happened with Oswald. That failed. Then came Mickey Mouse. And the rest, they say, is history. So often it's by persevering that we have an effect. And certainly in God's world, it's by persevering that we produce a crop. The last point that Jesus made in this story is this: the crop yield is 100 times more than what was sown. When we are experiencing the fruitful life that God has designed for us, it is amazing how much fruit He can bring. The seed of God's word at work in us can produce amazing results. I've always appreciated the story of John Wesley. John Wesley. He grew up in the Church of England. He became a priest. He wanted to be used of God. It was great to go to England a few years ago and kind of walk the Wesley Trail. And one of the things that we did is we went to the place where George Whitefield said to John Wesley, he said, "John, let me tell you what I've been doing. I have been preaching to large groups of people in the fields. And the reason I'm doing it is because they're not coming to the Church of England. They're not coming to where we're preaching. And so I'm preaching out here in the fields. And John, I'm telling you, the need is great among these people. The need is so great, and they are so hungry. And John, you've got to see it. You've got to see what God is doing." And at first, John Wesley was reluctant about field preaching. He thought, you know, what kind of preaching is preaching if it's not in a church? I don't know about this field preaching. But then he went to observe. And as he saw 14,000 people gathering in this open area, and we saw the hill where Wesley first learned about preaching to the masses. As he saw 14,000 people gathered, and as he saw Whitefield preaching boldly the good news of God's love and grace, and as he saw the people respond, he too became convinced that God might be in this thing called field preaching. And so he began to explore himself what it might mean to go to the highways and the byways and go to the bars and go to wherever people might be gathered and find ways to preach the good news. And the seed of the movement called Methodism began to multiply exponentially. I love those stories. We never know what God is going to do when we step out in faith with Him. Jesus is telling us that there is a fruitful life that God wants His people to experience. We don't have to be rich. We don't have to be famous. We don't have to be someone special. We only have to be open. Open ourselves to the power of God's Word and His Spirit in our life. So what can we do to experience this fruitful life? I think of a few things. First of all, I would say this: we can recognize the value of good soil, good dirt. There's nothing more important in life than preparing our hearts to receive God's Word, keeping our hearts open, keeping them fertile, keeping them cultivated. But here's the thing: that is not automatic. It's not an automatic thing. We have to be intentional about keeping our hearts open to God. It is a spiritual battle, but the Holy Spirit is the one who can help us stay connected and fight off the arrows of the enemy with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and continue to keep our communion with the living God, the Holy Spirit. What else can we do? Secondly, strive for a good and noble heart. How do we do that? It's not, again, about our works. It's about us coming to the foot of the cross, us coming to Christ. It's through Christ and what he has done on the cross that we receive this new heart, this new life, this new beginning. Amen? We can experience new birth, new power from on high. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Christ's Holy Spirit is the source of our good and noble heart. What else can we do to experience God's fruitful life? Next, I'd say this: believe in God's power and plan. God wants to see a mighty harvest of fruit in our lives. Genesis 8:22, God establishes the law of seed time and harvest. He says there's always going to be seed time, and then there's going to be harvest. It's going to be the way things work in the natural world. It's the way things work in the spiritual world as well. He wants us to experience a fruitful life, fruitful in our relationship with him, fruitfulness in our relationship with one another, in our families, among friends. God wants you to be fruitful in your vocation, the place where you're spending your time and your energy and your efforts to live out your passion. He wants you to be fruitful in your ministry as well, in the place where you're using your spiritual gifts for his purposes in the world. He wants all of that for us. Hey, I always appreciate reading the book of Acts about the early fruitfulness of the disciples. You know, God used those disciples in so many amazing ways. And it's also encouraging to read the stories of the early Christian leaders, like John Wesley and many before him, and their stories and how they inspire us today. I also think it's encouraging to hear about what God's doing right now, God's work in the world today. God's on the move in Russia. I love it that we have a partner in Irina Mitina to hear about, you know, what she is doing in Russia. God's moving in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in Central and South America, even right here in these United States. God continues to be at work. We just need to be sure we're looking for what God is doing. So where have you seen God at work lately? I've seen God at work lately when family and friends gather around persons who have experienced the loss of a loved one and help them through that process. It's amazing when the body of Christ helps in that way. I've seen God at work when people of faith from all over the country rally in response to disasters like Hurricane Florence. I'm grateful for the way that the body of Christ, people of faith, respond to help. I see God at work as more people feel more compelled to pray these days for our city, our nation, our world, and the church. In these times where there is turmoil and unrest of all kinds here and throughout the world, God continues to be at work. We just need to believe in his plan and his power and continue to look for the harvest and work toward the harvest, especially and particularly in what he is doing right here among us, here in Tulsa, here in our community, here in our church. And finally, what else should we do? I would say this: persevere. Remember, in the end, the prize goes to the one in the arena who is still standing. Harvest happens, but it happens with much abiding and much communing with God and much prayer and much time in His Word. It was Robert Louis Stevens who said this, "Saints are sinners who kept on going." I like that. Saints are simply sinners who kept on going. The writer of Hebrews 10:36 says this, you need to persevere. You need to what? You need to, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. There is a fruitful life out there for all of us. Not necessarily a world of money and power and fame and fortune, but a life of real fruitfulness. Not a trampled life, not a shallow life, not a stifled life, but a fruitful life. Even as much as 100 times bountiful as what was sown. The key is Jesus Christ. He is the one who's been given authority to take our lives and change us, even in our sin and brokenness, to make us noble and good by the power of His Holy Spirit, to produce His bountiful fruit within us. That is the good life. That's the real fruitful life that God has for us. The question is, will we believe it? Will we embrace it? Will we take Jesus at His word? Will we let the power of Jesus' word take root in our hearts and grow and over time produce a crop? Remember this. Jesus wants to help us live a life truly fruitful. So let's learn everything that He is trying to tell us and teach us in this parable. And let's be open to a regular Holy Spirit dirt check. What kind of soil does God find in my heart? And let's step out in faith with God and believe in His power, His plan for our lives. Let the seed of God's word grow and multiply to produce amazing fruit in your life. Amen? So let's pray about it. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Master, loving Lord, we do thank You for this gift, the seed of Your word. It has tremendous potential and power for our lives. There's so much that is possible to us, but it's not always realized. What could be does not always happen because we're not always ready. Our hearts are not always open and receptive. But Lord, You're the one who loves us. You're the one who accepts us. You're the one who can change us, transform us by the power of Your Holy Spirit within us. And all of that is possible because of what You have done for us through Your Son, Jesus. He's the one who lived, who died, and rose again so that we can be forgiven of our sins and receive the gift of Your Holy Spirit. And what a game changer that is. Oh God, we thank You for Your amazing grace. So Lord, take our trampled hearts, our shallow hearts, our stifled hearts, and exchange them for open and receptive hearts. Help us to be people who hear Your word and retain it, keep it, hold on to it, and by persevering produce a bountiful harvest, even a 100-fold increase. You are the one who can do it, Lord. You're the one who can help us live a fruitful life. So give us faith to believe, faith to live it, and faith to experience it. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen.